The question was asked, what's the connection between Chanukah and and the home? Why did Chazal say Ner Yishu Beito? So I did not see something in writing on it. There are different Hasidic thoughts on it. And I think that we can perhaps look for clues within Chazal. First of all, the term of Yishu Beito appears once in the Torah. It appears when Yaakov Avinu is going down to Mitzrayim. Yishu Beito Bao, it says they each came with their home. If we want to draw from the theme we were discussing earlier, the Gran Miguel Sester, the idea that Chanukah was preparatory for a long exile, long galut, they knew that's where we were headed. So then it could be that the idea was that, as the Sephorno writes, and again, many commentaries say it, the Sephorno quotes a Medrash. The Medrash says we were heading down to Mitzrayim, Yishu Beito Bao, everyone came with their home. So the Medrash says Yaakov Avinu went to each child and said, let's set you up with a shidduch. No one walked into Mitzrayim without knowing who they'd be married to. Yaakov said, the only way we can deal with Mitzrayim is with the home. The only way you could stand up to Galut is with the home. The home. And so that's why in entering the Galut, Yaakov said, everyone has to be matched up. They walked into Mitzrayim and everyone had someone who was theirs, with whom they'd be building the home. Which, by the way, is how they explain the Rambam. Rambam says it can't be in Shemaim, it's decided who you'd marry, because who you marry ends up defining a lot of how many mitzvos you're going to do in your life. It really affects what you can and cannot do. So it can't be in Shemaim, they decide that for you. So they say, what does the Rambam do with the Gemara? The Gemara says that before you're born, it's declared who you're going to marry. So they say, the Rambam learned that Gemara was talking about when you match people at young ages. So if at 15 you marry a girl who's 7 or 8, then you bring her up the way you want her to be a wife. Then it makes sense, then Shemaim, they'd decide. But once you're 18 and she's 17, you're 19 and she's 18, she knows what she wants, she knows what she wants to make out of you. In Shemaim, they're not going to define for you who you're going to marry. So that's how they want to explain the Rambam. Coming back to here, so Yaakov Avinu sets them up with families because the key to surviving the Galut is Yishu Beito. So it could be, if we borrow from the Rambam that writes in Igeret Teiman, in the Yemenite epistle, that in the time of the Greeks, they forced us to take the doors off our front homes. And they would etch out on the shofar, on the keren hapara, every Jew had to engrave on the horn of their cow, I have no portion in the God of Israel. And we could even borrow what Rav Lau interpreted that to mean. Rav Lau gave a very nice pshat. He said, why the horn of a cow? So I always understood the Rambam to be saying, on their parnasa, you know, you're a taxi driver, and on your taxi there's a sign that says, I have nothing to do with the God of Israel. That's a big statement. But he wanted to say something else. He wanted to say that the horn of the cow is the baby's bottles. That in those days, and that's a Gemara. The Gemara at the end of the second chapter of Shabbos says that they used the horns of cows for babies to suck through. That was their baby bottles. So Rav Lau wanted to say that that's what it means. From the time the kid was a baby, he'd look up and see an engraving. I have no chelik Elokei Yisrael. But okay, coming back to the idea, they fought the home. The Gemara says it was in those days they declared that a non-Jew is defiled. I always wonder, you guys should try this. In the days of Chazal, they were careful not to touch a non-Jew. They said a non-Jew is tamei. This was an institution of the Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Why? Why, we'll say in 1 second, but it's a phenomenal thing. When I pay the bus driver and I get change, I always try to see, can I do it without touching him? Why? Because the Gemara says in Tractate Yuma that there was a woman who was very pious. She would never leave one hair out of her head covering, and she merited to see numerous children become Kohanim Gadolim. How so? Her son was Kohen Gadol, and a Roman emperor or a Roman governor called him out to talk to him, and as he spoke to him, some spit flew out of his mouth. Even though he was Kohen Gadol and he was about to do the service of Yom Kippur, the non-Jew spit made him Tameh. So now his brother was appointed Kohen Gadol, and he did the work instead of him. So she merited to see multiple children become Kohanim Gadolim. So we don't... I always challenge myself. Can I pay the Arab bus driver and accept change without touching his hands? It's almost impossible. I'm saying we don't, maybe I could do like Rav Kook used to do. He used to point. Rav Kook never passed something from his hand to a woman or took something back. Just like the laws of family purity, when a woman's a neither, they're not supposed to do it. Rav Kook would never, I mean, he would, it's a shach. I mean, there is such a level of piety, quoted it in the comment. We don't live that way, okay? There are pious people, they did. So why did they make this institution? So the Gemara says, because there was so much homosexuality, they knew that the Jewish children would get swept by it. If a Jewish boy had a non-Jewish boyfriend, it would not remain innocent. He would teach him that men can sleep with men, and then the Jewish boy would like it and wouldn't leave it. It's a phenomenal thing, the Gemara says. Yergiloto. That's why I say, people say they're not normal, and it's an abnormal desire. I don't know, the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says if you expose a kid to it, then he might want it, and you'll have Jewish children staying with their male Greek boyfriends. That's what the Gemara says. That's why they made this whole institution, so that people didn't let their kids play with them. They were very big into laws of purity. So that was a good way to ensure he's not even pure. He touches your kid. You have to take him to mikvah. If you tell them, he'll teach him non-kosher things. He'll feed him his non-kosher, whatever. I'll send my boy with a kosher hot dog, right? But if you tell him, anything he touches is defiled. So that psychologically, that caused the divide. But here you see that there was this idea that the Greeks were able to penetrate to the point that there was a danger that Jewish children would have Greek boyfriends in an intimate way. I'm saying that's what Chazal were concerned with. They had to make a gzeira in order to preclude that. So it seems, if we put these sources together, that what Chazal were saying was, we're putting the doors back on our doors. If you look at the She'iltos writes, he makes a big deal of the idea that it's the mezuzah and the chanukiah and your talis. And Rav Shlomo Fisher has a whole piece on the idea of these three mitzvot as one, being enveloped with mitzvot. But if you think of it on a simple level, the mezuzah is the declaration, Hashem is one, and I'm doing His mitzvot. Shema Yisrael, Vayam Shemati Shmu. That's my declaration on my doorpost. They took off our doors. We put back our doors. The door is the idea we're a unit. Taking off the door is the idea you're part of all of us. You're just like us. We're making a unified code. And the Greeks, they said, we don't want to kill you. We want you to be like us, accept our code of laws. We're all one. And the Jewish people say, no. We're different people and we're different families. And the idea that I'm unique, the idea that my door closes, that I'm a family, this is one of the challenges on Yishuvim. The kids grow up on the streets and the parents don't know to close the door and say, you're home, Shabbos. The kid says, I want to go out and play with my friends. No. If the kid eats the meal and then is out on the street and the home is just the stop where I sleep and I eat, the kid doesn't have a home. There has to be a door and the door has to be closed and there has to be time that the family is together. When my kids ask me to eat by a friend on Shabbos, I say no. Very often I say, bring the friend here. Oh no, his parents won't let him leave the meal for Shabbos. Okay, so your parents won't either. You know, I have a neighbor that brings his family together for Sukkot. And very often he wants my kids there. I say, no, why doesn't his kids come to me? Right? People, your family's supposed to be together. No, it's a big deal. It's a very big deal. And so the idea that the Greeks took the door off the hinges and we put it back, and then we say, mezuzah, Chanukiah, that's an idea of what the family is shining out. And I think there's a big theme in what we tell our kids in that. I'm saying, as far as our, you know, I call my daughters when I light Hanukkah candles. I tell them, we're doing the mitzvah. If I weren't scared of changing the minhag, if it were up to me, I would light the first candle, let my wife light the second candle, let my daughters each light a candle. If it were up to me, there isn't such a minhag, so I'm not doing it. I'm not going to invent new minhagim. But technically, that's what I want to do. You know, I was toying with the idea this year. I said, "Why? It's all of our mitzvahs. So why should I be the only one to light?" Okay, I'm the father of the house. I'm supposed to do that. So I'm doing it. I'm saying there's importance in that too. But I could see if my daughter really wanted to light. So I wanted to light her. I was going to tell her, I'll do the first, you do the rest. And it says in Halacha that just like the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur would start the slice and make it kosher, and another Kohen would finish, so too we do on Friday, tomorrow afternoon. The chazan lights the first candle, and if it's getting close to Shkia and he won't be able to catch in Mincha, someone else finishes lighting the rest of the candles. So it says you're allowed to do that for a tzorech. But I realize that if I do it at home, I'm going to be changing the minhag. Once I do it once, that's it. I just changed the minhag for my family. I shouldn't invent minhagim. And if it, technically, there's room halachically to do it. But that's, I think that's a large part of the theme. The idea of Ishu Beito, Yaakov Avinu, the Seforno, that the home is what can stand up to the galut of Mitzrayim. the Rambam in Igeret Teman, taking off the doors, the Gemara in Shabbos, the idea that they had to keep the children playing with Jewish children, that they were going to break the whole family structure. I'm saying when you put those sources together, that's the picture I get. Again, I'm giving you the sources because I don't have a source that puts them all together. Meaning I haven't yet found something. I have Hasidish sources, but I'm saying a source from 600-700 years ago is what I'd like, and I haven't yet found one on the idea of Ishu Beito. So that's why when I put together sources, that's the picture I get.